From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the Book of Judges, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled, A Fatal Flaw in a Faithful Man, as he takes a final look at the ministry of Gideon. In the passage in Judges chapter 8, we see Gideon's army faint yet pursuing the enemy, a picture of Gideon's faithfulness. He was not distracted by carnal controversy or deterred by physical faintness. And here is encouragement for God's people in every age. We're to remember that we're fighting against the devil, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, that is, by prayer and study of God's word. Yet, in spite of Gideon's faithfulness, he marred his reputation by taking many wives in the manner of the heathen kings of the time, and then he made a golden ephod that became a snare to Israel, for they fell to worshipping it. Innovation in the worship of God introduces a false god, and the consequences are always serious. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Unfailing Watch. The text is Psalm 121 and verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Jehovah is the keeper of Israel. No form of unconsciousness ever steals over him, neither the deeper slumber nor the slighter sleep. He never fails to watch the house and the heart of his people. This is a sufficient reason for our resting in perfect peace. Alexander said that he slept because his friend Parmenio watched. Much more may we sleep because our God is our guard. Behold, is here set up to call our attention to the cheering truth. Israel, when he had a stone for his pillow, fell asleep. But his God was awake and came in vision to his servant. When we lie defenseless, Jehovah himself will cover our head. The Lord keeps his people as a rich man keeps his treasure, as a captain keeps a city with a garrison, as a sentry keeps watch over his sovereign. None can harm those who are in such keeping. Let me put my soul into his dear hands. He never forgets us, never ceases actively to care for us, never finds himself unable to preserve us. O my Lord, keep me, lest I wander and fall and perish. Keep me, that I may keep thy commandments. By thine unslumbering care, prevent my sleeping like the sluggard, and perishing like those who sleep the sleep of death.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Teach me some melodious
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
Some of the notions of dispensationalism have got into every church practically, that somehow or other the Old Testament moral law, it's just not for today. It's not for today. I believe it was in reference to this that the famous J.N. Darby said that if you take the moral law as being the standard of Christian living, a standard for Christian obedience, he said, dispensationally, that is the sin against the Holy Ghost. J.N. Darby was a great scholar, a great man in many ways, but an utter idiot in that statement. And I have no apology to make for that description. An utter idiot in that statement. Dispensationally, the sin against the Holy Ghost. Most people today have never read a word of J.N. Darby. Most people who have tried are no wiser, because it's nearly impossible to understand what the man says. But our churches are reaping the harvest. His theories have become the benchmark of orthodoxy in our Bible-believing churches. And that now is the great mark of Christian perfection, of Christian maturity, that I don't need to keep the law of God. Since when? Since when? Thou shalt not commit adultery. I tell you, our churches would need to have that preached today. The churches are just about as rotten as the world in this. The immorality that's sweeping through churches, aye, and through the pastorate of the churches, and I'm not now talking merely about the charismatics and about the Roman Catholics and about the Lutherans, I'm talking about the Bible-believing churches where hundreds of pastors every year are either having to quit their jobs or quietly move to another job because of immoral living. That's what I'm talking about. They would need to have this preached. And I make it clear to you, when you start telling people that the law of God is not a standard of holiness to be striven after in the Christian life, you begin to pull down the bulwarks of purity. When an evolutionist tells people that they only are glorified apes, you can understand that the people start to live like apes, with all due apologies to the apes. When Christian preachers start to tell people that they don't need to keep the law of God, you can understand that they start to live that way. You don't break the law of God with impunity. That was Gideon's problem. He broke God's law. Not only so, here's something that our churches need to be very careful of today. He touched the work of the high priest. And there's a lot that has come into our preaching. There's a lot has come into our serving in the church that really is detracting from the unique glory of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. When you go from church to church and from Sabbath day to Sabbath day and from one year's end to another, and you hear people contending for the faith, standing up for the faith, criticizing, condemning, people who need to be criticized and condemned, but at the same time, they never once preach up the high priesthood of Christ. I've talked to people who say, I've sat in churches for 20 years. I've never heard one message on justification by free grace through faith in Christ. I've never heard one message on the imputed righteousness of Christ. I've never heard one message on the significance of the blood of Christ. I've never heard one message even on the resurrection of Christ and what it means to a Christian. Oh, I've known from various statements that the preacher believed these things, but I've never heard them expounded. What's happening? What's happening? 53 new principles on how to be happy. Some great preacher, I was going to call him something else, but I'm not. He came up with 15 principles to how to keep your wife in subjection. Not a word about the high priest. Not a word about the finished work. That's why John MacArthur has swept the country with his heresy about the blood of Christ. And I use the word heresy with sadness because I have great admiration for much of the rest of the ministry of John MacArthur. But that's why he can do it. That's why when he was among hundreds of fundamental Baptist pastors and they're putting questions to them, not one single man among them knew enough to put one question of any substance. Not one. Here's a man teaching that the precious blood of Jesus Christ dropped to the ground of Palestine and corrupted in the dust, and not one fundamental pastor in among hundreds of them could even make one point in defense of the blood. Not one. touching the high priest. I tell you, we pay for that. And then he introduced human invention into the worship of God. Now, no doubt he meant it for good. I believe he did. No doubt at first it seemed justified. No doubt at first it seemed a small thing. But it was a violation of God's word. Apostasy always starts with small human innovations. Romanism did not come as the complete package it is now. It started off by little and by little. There's a great danger in innovation. That's why our Protestant forefathers were willing to die at the stake for things that people today in their stupidity think were little things. When a man was asked to bow to the host, the little wafer, the bread at the communion, when he was asked to bow his head as that host was brought forward, and he said, "I won't do it." And when a man was then told, "You will either do it or burn at the stake," and he says, "I'll burn at the stake," people today would say, "Well, sure, it's just a small thing. You're not saying, you just bow your head." Ah, no. He realized, as all those martyred forefathers did, that when it comes to introducing such innovations, you're introducing a false god. There's a danger even in giving unwarranted prominences to things that are allowable. I keep on touching on things that I would love to run away for a half an hour on. Now, you hear me through in this. A lot of you are going to be shocked and upset at what I'm about to say. But I'm going to say it anyway. God's people in their preaching have always, if you read the history of preaching, great preachers, felt the burden to call men to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. But starting in the days of Charles Finney, there was a new emphasis placed on public decision. Now, public decision in itself was nothing new. Moses called for public decision. Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come forth unto me. I believe in public decision. Public stand. When the people got baptized publicly in the early church, I want to tell you, it wasn't, as many people as today say, "I'm getting done." No. It was coming out as a public stand, a public statement. There's nothing wrong with public decision. But Finney gave that an altogether new twist. He gave it a prominence that it doesn't deserve, with the result today that the act of decision is all that matters. When I read reports of, quotes, revivals, the wording more likely than not is there were 35 good decisions. What on earth does that mean? Are there any bad decisions for Christ? Good decisions. Preachers have got to the place, if you want to be saved, make a decision. Good, I want you to be saved, and I want you to be saved tonight. You have no excuse to go away without calling on Christ. Every moment you stay away from Christ is a moment of sinful rebellion. So nobody comes. But I must have decisions. I have been in meetings where it has almost got to the ridiculous end that if any of you have now or have ever had a mother, please make a decision. We had one charismatic clown in Northern Ireland. He's now in Florida. So that he could send his letters to America and his pictures to America and get a lot of gullible people to give him thousands of dollars for a great project of faith, Faith Cathedral that was going up. Faith Cathedral is just about two or three times the size of our bathrooms, and raising thousands of dollars for all this. So that he could do that, he went to the town of Lisburn, had a big, big campaign, huge success, wonderful decisions, and he's got the cameraman to take all the hands in the air, and he had obviously told them, put your hand in the air, but it wasn't to be saved, it was this charismatic praying. And one poor fool, he gave it all away. He put the both hands in the air and he was going like this. Decisions. And I want to tell you, that has become a snare. If I feel the burden of God to call men to walk that aisle for Christ, I'll do it, as I've done many a time. If I call them to put a hand up, I'll do it. If I feel that burden of God, but I refuse this notion that everything in the Church of Christ can be reduced to a decision. And if we don't get decisions for one thing, we can get it for another, and then we can cover up in our reporting by saying we had so many good decisions. Where's the word about people under conviction of sin? Where's the word about people penitently seeking the Lord? Where's the word about new creatures in Christ? Innovation is always dangerous in the work of God. New theology is always bad theology. Understand that? New theology is always bad theology. Two things then. Though he was faint, Gideon was faithful. But though he was faithful, Gideon was foolish. And his fatal flaw had far-reaching and devastating consequences. Let's learn from this tonight. You can't live on yesterday's experience. Yesterday, Gideon was a great man of victory. Today, Gideon is failing God. You can't live on yesterday's experience. Let us learn that you can't ape the world without paying a terrible price. Let us learn that we must remain obedient to the word of God. We're never justified in breaking God's word. And let us learn that we must never divert man's gaze from Christ. If the day ever comes that this church would point men to the preacher, to the denomination, to the theological system, to the form of worship, to the form of government, or to anything else but Christ and Him crucified. On that day, may God ever either give us swift repentance or shut the doors forever. We can sum it all up. Let's take these thoughts home with us tonight for our encouragement. There is none so weak that he may not be faithful. That includes you. There is none so weak that he may not be faithful. But for our admonition, there is none so faithful that he may not be weak. May God give us grace
to avoid the fatal flaws of this faithful man, and to be sure to go through with God our vows to pay, are all upon the altar laid.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.